And it's read in the New Testament. It's Matthew's Gospel, and it's chapter 10. It's on, in my Bible, it's page 1158. 1158. Matthew 10. I just want to read you one little verse. This is Jesus speaking. And in verse 28, Jesus says, "And be not afraid of those who kill the body, and cannot kill the soul, but fear rather him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We've got a dog. It's an English Springer Spaniel. If you don't know what one of those is, it's about, it's reasonably big. It's not huge. It's about that big. Maybe that big. That big. About that long. It's brown and white. It's really friendly. She's 9 years old, and we've had her since she was a puppy. About 4 weeks ago, my son Andrew was playing with her in the garden, and she loves chasing things. And he was, I think it was, we got this little blue ring, rubber ring, that you throw, and she'll go and bring it back. She'll just do it all the time. She just gets really excited. And he threw it, and it went over some bushes, over a mound of earth, over some grass, and disappeared. And she went after it like a flash. Done it loads of times before. Disappeared beyond the bushes. And she didn't come back. So we went and had a look. And she was lying there on the ground. And she couldn't walk. Just couldn't move her legs. Just lying there. I thought she'd broken her leg or something. So Andrew picked her up and carried her indoors. And put her down, and he said, "Dad, I've got blood on me. She's hurt herself." And we had a look, and she'd got a hole in her chest. And what she'd done, it's not nice, what she'd done is she'd leaped over this earth bank onto a stake, a metal stake, and it had gone straight through her chest like someone put a knife in. And because she was going so she impaled herself on it, because she was going so fast, she carried on and it came out and she landed on the grass over there and was lying there. So we took her to the vets and the vet did some operation on her and kept her in. And that's 4 weeks ago. She's home now. She had to wear one of those plastic buckets on her head for a while so she couldn't lick the stitches. She had metal staples all the way down here. But she's all right. She walks a bit like an old lady, excuse me saying that if you're old. But she's alright. I think she's a little bit sore still inside. But I thought she'd die. Especially when the vet told me how much it was going to cost. I thought, get a puppy for a lot cheaper than that. But she's alright. But I was left thinking, what if she died? You see, if you look at the Bible, it doesn't say much about animals at all. And from what I can see, the little bit that it does say, it says what happens to an animal if they die is just the end. It's like going to sleep. Nothing happens once they're dead. It's the end. They no longer exist. They're just not there anywhere in the universe. Life just stops and that's the end. There's a lot of men and women and children, human beings, who would like to think that that's what will happen to them when they die. Talk to your friends. Ask them what they think will happen when they die. And you'll get all sorts of answers. Some will say, it's like an animal. We're no different to the animals. And it'll just be the end and it'll stop. Nothing happens. And your question to them, if they tell you that, should be, how do you know? How do you know? You've never died. They've never died. How do they know? It's just a wish. You can talk to other people and you'll find, depending what religion, depending what background, depending where they grew up, they'll have all sorts of ideas about what happens after death. And always, always, always you should ask the question, how do you know? How do you know? Because I've only ever found one person who is convincing on this. Only ever found one person who actually, I think, knows. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he lived 2,000 years ago in what we today call Israel. 2,000 years ago. And I find what Jesus says quite convincing, very, very, very convincing. When I read the words of Jesus in this Bible, I'm reading about someone who knows what he's talking about. He didn't say, this is an idea, or this is a theory, or this might happen. Oh no. Jesus said, time and time again, to people, this is how it's going to be. And Jesus said, no matter what happens to animals, humans, men and women, boys and girls, are different. When they die, there's something inside them called their soul, which lives on. It never dies. Never, ever dies. And then the question is, so what happens to that soul? What happens to you? At the moment when you die, and you can no longer move, see, hear, anything that's around you here, what happens to you? Well, Jesus says you're going on to somewhere else, that soul of yours. And he says in the end, there's only two places for it to go. One is called heaven, which is where he is now. And the other is called hell. And it's awful. That's what Jesus taught. He didn't say very much about what heaven is like. Mostly what he talked about, if you look at it, he's concerned about how you're going to get there. But here in this passage I read to you, he's talking to his friends. And he says, look, I'm asking you to go and do some things. And people are going to object to what you say. He says, but don't be afraid of those people. The worst they can do is kill your body. Well, most people would think that's the worst that anyone could do. But Jesus said, no. The worst they can do is kill your body. You should be afraid of something else. You should be afraid of the person who is able to destroy both your soul and body in hell. Fear him. So my question really is just this tonight. If there's only two places to go, if there's heaven and there's hell, who goes to heaven? I'm not really interested in who goes to hell. Who goes to heaven? How do you make sure now in your life here that if you die, you're going to heaven? Who goes? If you think about what happens in this life here, there's all sorts of ways that people get divided up. Who goes? Who goes to a party? Well, unless you gate crash it, you go to a party if you're somebody's friend. You go because somebody's invited you. God's inviting you tonight to come to heaven. There's a massive invitation gone out from God to the whole world, to anyone who will listen, to come to heaven. If you've got a basketball team, who gets to play? You've got to be tall. It's no good being really short in a basketball team. Nobody wants you. You haven't got to be tall to go to heaven. You haven't got to be small to go to heaven. You can be tall and you can be small. I haven't found anyone in the Bible that says was tall and going to heaven. But there's some small people going. Some things in this life, you need money if you want to go. You need money. You need to buy a ticket. You need to have saved up or got it from somewhere so that you can buy it, so you can go. You need to be rich. God doesn't say you have to be rich to go to heaven. But he doesn't say rich people can't come. If there's anybody sitting here who's rich, God doesn't say you can't come. He says you're invited. But he does say it's harder for you to come. Harder. You can be poor and get excluded, left out of things in this world because you can't afford it. Other people go and you don't. God especially welcomes people that are poor. God especially welcomes and invites people that don't have very much. He especially does that in the Gospels. Jesus goes out of his way to invite the poor to come to heaven. If you haven't got much, you're especially welcome. Jesus welcomes you. There are some things you can do in this life where you have to be old. I can't see many advantages in being old. Well, there are some things. You get cheaper insurance if you know where to look. Things like that. You haven't got to be old to go to heaven. But if you are old, you're very, very welcome in heaven. There are some things in this life where you have to be young. If you want to play for a decent football team, there's not much point being middle-aged. You need to be good and you need to be young. Jesus especially welcomes young people to heaven. Especially welcomes them. You can see stories in the Gospels where Jesus says, let the young people, let the children, let them come to me. You're especially welcome. The invite's for you. You might think that God specially welcomes the religious people in heaven. You might think that. The people that know a lot about religious things. You think they might be more welcome than you? Jesus goes out of his way to say he doesn't want the religious. Doesn't want the religious. They're still welcome. They're still welcome, but if religion means they've worked it all out and they can find their own way to heaven, then he doesn't want that. If that's what religion means. If you feel like you don't know very much about Christianity, if you feel you don't know much about the Bible, if you feel you don't know much about what the gospel preachers talk about, then God says to you, you are especially welcome. You're especially welcome into heaven. There will be rich and poor people in heaven. People that are no longer rich and no longer poor, but people who when they lived here were rich and poor. There will be people who are tall and people who are short and people who are fat and people who are small. There were people who are old and people who are young. Heaven will be filled with all sorts of people of every kind. But they didn't get there because they were any of those things. They got there for a different reason altogether. God sends out his invitation. And he explains to you in the Bible how you get to heaven. I want to read you a verse which you've probably heard people preach to you many times before. It's in John's Gospel and chapter 8. Page 1279. John's Gospel, chapter 8, page 1279. And I have this verse in my Bible. Years and years ago, I highlighted it in yellow and I underlined it in red. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and halfway through verse 24. And Jesus is talking. And Jesus said, I said to you, therefore, that you shall die in your sins. And this is the bit I've highlighted. He said, for unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Unless Jesus said, you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And that might not sound like what I've been talking about, but that is one way that Jesus explained who goes to heaven. He says, if you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And if you look in the Bible, you'll see that those that die in their sins are judged, and they end in judgment and in hell. But turn the verse the other way around, because that's what I do. If you turn the verse the other way around, it says that if you believe that I am he, you shall not die in your sins. You'll go to heaven. That is the thing that makes a difference. That is the thing. There's people that are going to be in heaven. There's people going to be in hell. And the only difference between the two is whether they've believed that Jesus is who he said he is. Whether they've believed that Jesus has done what he says he's done. The Bible explains it in a lot of different ways. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross of wood outside Jerusalem. Nails in his hands and nails in his feet. A horrible death. A death that must have been incredibly painful. I haven't got time to tell you this tonight. What the Bible tells you is the story of a man who was born at Bethlehem, who lived an absolutely pure and perfect life. And somewhere about the age of 33, turned to walk down to Jerusalem, knowing that when he got there, he would be crucified. What the Bible tells you is the story of a man who did that walk and walked to his crucifixion so that, whilst men tried to murder him and kill him, he could at the same time offer himself as an offering, as a sacrifice for the sins of everyone that would trust him. And that's what the Bible says. It says that those that believe that Jesus died for them, those that believe that 2,000 years ago on that cross, Jesus took their sins and the judgment of their sins, those people and those alone will go to heaven. But that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel message. That's why it's for everybody, and it doesn't matter if your background. It's because it's nothing to do with you. It's about what Jesus did. God said he looked at the blood of his son. Jesus was God's son. And that blood that Jesus poured out from the cross from his side, that blood is enough of a sacrifice to wash away your sins. The Bible says that if you come to Jesus and ask him in your just quietness of your heart, ask him to forgive you your sins, then he will do. And he'll do it because on that cross, his offering of himself is enough to deal with all the judgment against your sins. Sometimes the Bible's quite complicated. Sometimes the Christian message is quite complicated. But I just wanted you to get this tonight. That you are a human being. You're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman. And you have something inside you, a soul that lives forever. And when Jesus comes, or when you die, that soul will live on. And it's going to heaven, or it's going to hell. It's where you're going. And the only difference between that, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell, is if you turn in your heart now. Ask Jesus to forgive you, be your saviour. And believe that what he did on that cross, it was for you. Those are the people that go to heaven.